This is Truth Frequency Radio.
The wicked ones, obviously under heavy Masonic influence.
Hello, and good morning. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for being here. This is, of course, your Red Pill Reports for the ninth day of December. It is Tuesday. We made it through Monday. Pretty darn happy about that, not going to lie. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. The listenership is just growing by leaps and bounds every day. I cannot thank you guys enough who are tuning in, making this part of your daily dose of deprogramming. And for those of you guys who are sharing the website redpillreports.com with your friends, and for those of you who are sharing this show with your friends and letting your family know that we're on the air every day, I just cannot thank you guys enough. You know, this is a major group effort that we couldn't do without the guests and the listeners. So again, just want to extend my heartfelt thanks to all of you, especially those of you who are also supporting Truth Frequency Radio by making small donations. I just cannot tell you how much I appreciate that and how much the other hosts appreciate that. It has been a big week so far, and it is only Monday in the books so far. So just, you know, one day through the week, and it's already been a big one. I hope many of you guys caught Greg Morse's interview on InfoWars Nightly News last night. He did a fantastic job, as did David Knight, in fleshing out some of these ancillary stories that surround this whole mortgage crisis issue. You know, we're talking about the largest tax evasion case in the history of the country. We're talking about the largest securities fraud ever in the history of the country. And David and Greg did a fantastic job bringing that all into focus last night on InfoWars. A lot of people might think it's interesting that I would promote another, you know, radio show or another network. But, you know, we're all in this together here, guys. These issues that we're talking about, especially getting into the Greg Morse stuff, so much bigger than Red Pill Reports, or so much bigger than InfoWars. I mean, this is just, this is the ammo that we need to, as David Knight so eloquently put it last night, kick the bankers in the nuts. And I love that. I giggled when he finally when he said that last night. But that's it. You know, this issue is bigger than all of us, bigger than everything that we've all tried to do before. So to team up with a group like InfoWars and working together to help get Greg's story out is, you know, obviously what we all want to be a part of right now. So I hope all of you caught it. They'll obviously be some links on redpillreports.com once the article that InfoWars is doing to go along with that interview is up, and we will be able to you'll be able to find it there at redpillreports.com. Also want to recommend people go to redpillreports.com today and to get into the show section. Well, a couple things we need to talk about at Red Pill. First of all, at redpillreports.com right now, under the Red Pill Reports featured section, which is right at the very top of the page, you can click on a link under the heading Mortgage Crisis, the whole story. There's a red link there that says Mortgage Crisis, and it will take you to three separate stories, as we kind of felt the need to separate some of these issues so we could really talk about the different facets of this story. The first one is My Mortgage Funding American Black Ops, written by Greg Morse. Absolutely mind-blistering information there, as he and Scott have traced the derivatives that were created from our mortgages and then trace them overseas as they fund black ops and things like that. Also, another article, Who Owns America? Seed and the DTCC, also by Greg Morse, is being hosted at redpillreports.com right now, talking about the Seed and Company and also the DTCC, who are organizations that essentially own all of the stocks, bonds, and certificates in the country right now. So you think you own your home, you think you own stocks or bonds, you very well may not. Another article that you need to get written or get printed out and get in front of your friends, send links to the emails, things like that. The last one is called Mortgage Crisis Perpetrators, Strategy to Destroy Evidence. Now, this article was actually written back in 2010 of October as Greg was essentially attempting to predict what was going to happen in the mortgage crisis. And wouldn't you know it, he did a fantastic job in that article as well. So important, go to redpillreports.com, get into the mortgage crisis section, and you can find all of the information out that you need to know and that your friends and family need to know about this mortgage crisis issue. Also, if you go to redpillreports.com, there's always going to be the show section, which is the first listing under the Red Pill Reports news and guests, and it will outline for you who the guest is for today. And wow, I guess I should stop now and just say today's guest, Cynthia Marie Brewer. And I don't know if a lot of you guys out there know who Cynthia Marie Brewer is, but hold on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be an amazing discussion. Cynthia Marie Brewer is a very unique individual from a genetic standpoint. Her DNA was selected against her will, mind you, to be put into the International Human Genome Project. Her genetic sequence was the first one that was actually fully sequenced by the International Human Genome Project against her will and without her knowledge. And then I'll tell you what, the story just gets crazier from there. So at 11 o'clock, Cynthia Marie Brewer will be on the show. Not one to miss. It's going to be pretty fascinating, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to lie. And then tomorrow's show, we're going to have Rick Rozoff on. Rick Rozoff is one of my all-time favorite people on the planet. He is a NATO expert, has been studying NATO for years and years and years, and really, really looking forward to talking to him because I haven't spoken with him for a couple of months now. And obviously, NATO and the Ukraine situation, and now Turkey. There's just so much going on over in the Middle East that has to do with NATO and ISIS and some of the things that that we can't perceive. And Rick will be very good at bringing that stuff out and helping us bring it all into focus. So do tune in tomorrow for that show as well. I have to, at this point, mention an article that we did yesterday, and I don't like having to do this, but I'm somebody that's I'm going to have to be honest when honesty strikes me. The Smithsonian article that we talked about yesterday that I was 100% sure was completely accurate, it turns out, came from a satirical website. Now, what can we ascertain from that? Now, first of all, it coming from a satirical website, I always think about the Men in Black movies, where they were walking through the grocery store and they pick up the Examiner or the chintzy newspapers, the one that everybody assumes are fake, and then they basically say, well, that's where the real news is. So I always wonder if some of these satirical websites, obviously not The Onion and places like that, but WorldNet Daily, things like that, I wonder if sometimes there are glimmers of truth in the articles that they post. So, thinking about this Smithsonian one, granted, that story about disclosure may not be mainstream news, but if you go back in time and you start looking at mainstream news from the 40s and the 30s and the 20s, you will find all kinds of mainstream news of the Smithsonian finding ridiculous artifacts in ridiculous places. One story that comes to mind is they found an Egyptian tomb in the Grand Canyon area. And now, granted, it wasn't an actual tomb, but it was a hideaway. Somebody had stashed, countless Egyptian artifacts in a cave near the Grand Canyon. And they found them. They pulled them out. They went to the Smithsonian. There were tons of articles written in mainstream news at the time You also can look at the Iowa mounds, the Illinois mounds, some of the things that they have pulled out of those locations. So, you know, in my heart of hearts, do I believe that the Smithsonian has either swept aside or destroyed evidence of giants? Yes, I absolutely believe that. And actually talking to Robert this morning, he and I are of the opinion that that stuff probably was not destroyed. Probably is still someplace in the basement at the Smithsonian as we speak. And, you know, we'll talk to L.A. Marzulli next week about this, whether or not there's been a disclosure. But I guarantee you that L.A. Marzulli has information about things that the Smithsonian really does have in its basement. And I do believe that giant skeletons are in that list. So whether or not there's going to be a lawsuit forcing disclosure, that could be conjecture at this point. I'm going to do some more digging into it this weekend and see if I can get a better indication for you guys. But right now, we have to assume that that was anything. We have to assume that that was a fictional story, unfortunately. So I apologize for that. If I led everyone astray, that's my fault. Okay, that covers everything. Oh, it doesn't cover everything. In the news section today on redpillreports.com, like I just said, if you want to go to the show section and follow along, one of the things that I like to do in the news section is also include a featured video every day. And a video is right now making the rounds on the internet, and it is a video of the tsunami in Japan back in 2011. And I'm sure a lot of people have seen a lot of videos from that, but this specific one is absolutely amazing. I've never seen anything like it. I will warn you, it is somewhat graphic. There are people who do get swept away in the water. But this video needs to be seen. I watched it. I passed it along to a few people. It is very, very, impressive to see, the real power of Mother Nature, as it were. So if you go to redpillreports.com and get into the show section, at the very bottom there is that featured video and article, talking about this video from, the tsunami in Japan. Very interesting, very, very graphic. But, you know, if you have any doubt about the power of Mother Nature, that one will be something that you want to check out. Okay, wasted enough time this morning. Let's jump into the international news right now. We have some news obviously coming out of Afghanistan. This American and NATO troops closed their operational command in Afghanistan just yesterday, lowering flags in a ceremony to mark the formal end of their combat mission in a country still mired in war after 13 years after the U.S.-led invasion toppled the Taliban regime for quote-unquote harboring those responsible for 9/11. The closing of this command, which oversaw the day-to-day operations of coalition combat forces, is one of the final steps in the transition to a support and training role that ostensibly begins on the 1st of January. But with President Barack Obama's recent move authorizing U.S. forces in Afghanistan to carry out military operations against Taliban and Al-Qaeda targets, America's longest war will, in fact, continue for at least another 2 years. Obama's decision to give American forces a more active role than previously envisioned suggests that the U.S. is still concerned about the Afghan government's ability to fight, and agreements signed by the Afghan President Ghani will now allow the U.S. and NATO troops to remain in the country. They're seen as a red line, according to the Taliban, which is obviously further narrowing any hope of peace talks. So the Taliban spokesman Mujahid told the Associated Press that the group would continue to fight in Afghanistan until all the foreign troops have left. And he goes on to say that the Americans want to extend their mission in Afghanistan, the motive being to keep the war going on for as long as possible. And he goes on to say, for as long as they do this, the Taliban will continue to fight against the foreign and Afghan government forces. So, Afghanistan, we are ostensibly pulling things out, but obviously that battle is still going to be waging for another 2 years. It's been a long 13 years so far, and Taliban just as steadfast as ever. Russia right now on Monday demanded an explanation for Israeli airstrikes on two areas near Damascus, while the Syrian and Iranian foreign ministers called it an act of aggression that proves that Israel is, quote-unquote, in the same trench with extremist groups fighting in the Syrian government. Israeli warplanes struck near Damascus's international airport on Sunday, as well as outside of a town close to the Lebanese border. Syria's reaction has been pretty mute so far, similar to previous cases, but Damascus has vowed to retaliate over and over, and of course they have yet to do so. So Russia jumping into the mix now and wondering why it is that Israel is launching attacks against the wishes of Syria inside of Syria. We'll obviously be speaking with Rick Rozoff about some of that tomorrow. Let's see here. China is doing a pretty big nuclear restructuring right now, according to the Chinese government. So that is what's going on there. They needed to retaliate in the event of an enemy strike. We're talking about the Jin-class submarines. They're going to be armed with nuclear JL-2 ballistic missiles. This will be the first time that China actually has a credible sea-based nuclear deterrent. So China jumping up into the Cold War arena fully and completely right now, but they are moving to develop their nuclear armaments so that they can compete with the rest of the world. Kind of makes sense to me. Russia, in a relatively surprise move here, has banned all GMO products coming into the country. I think Putin continues to surprise me with the things that he is doing. You know, I think a week ago he essentially allowed everyone in the country to carry concealed weapons. I mean, it's like they're becoming more and more American by the minute. But the Prime Minister, Medvedev, recently announced that Russia will no longer import GMO products, stating that the nation has enough space and enough resources to produce organic food. If the Americans like to eat GMO products, let them eat them, he says. We don't need to do that. We have enough space and opportunities to produce organic food. So obviously Russia now joining the continually growing list of anti-GMO countries, and it does so after a group of Russian scientists urged the government to consider at least a 10-year moratorium on GMOs to thoroughly study their influence on human health. So a 10-year moratorium on GMOs going into Russia, cannot possibly support that enough, as far as I can say. Let's see here. Moving on to a report coming out of Mosul, Iraq. They are reporting now that the ISIS commander from Kosovo has been killed in a raid. Would love to read you this story, but my internet is lagging significantly. There we go. Okay. So Abdallah, originally from Kosovo, he appeared in a recruitment video aimed at Albanians just earlier this last week, and he apparently has been killed by a targeted attack inside of Iraq. So that is good news, I suppose, if you're buying into the whole hype about ISIS being realistic or not. And David Cameron planning on traveling to Turkey tomorrow to hold talks with the Prime Minister and the President Erdogan over growing concerns that the country is being used as a staging post for British jihadists to travel and fight for ISIS. Although Turkey is a NATO member, it has been accused of doing little to support efforts at its border to tackle ISIS. And it's got to be a very awkward position right now for Turkey, given the fact that they are a NATO member, and it should essentially be, you know, on the same team as the United States there. But at the same time, they're allowing their border to remain porous and allowing jihadist, you know, fighters to join the battle in Syria. Which, if you believe that ISIS is an enemy of the United States, then that would obviously be a conflict of interest. I myself don't necessarily believe that ISIS is an enemy of the United States. I think that we can see ISIS being supported by Israel, which is clearly not an enemy of the United States. But if your head starts to get swimmy thinking about all of this stuff, believe me, you are not alone. I have a lot of trouble figuring out exactly what is going on. And I think that will be the nature of my question for Mr. Rozoff tomorrow. I'm going to say NATO, ISIS, and the trouble with Turkey, and go and see what he can do to work our brains through all of this nonsense that's going on. But that's pretty much everything that's going on in the international news. There is a new law that's come into effect in Sweden, and it will be in effect after Christmas of this year. They're going to allow people to be prosecuted for criticizing immigration or politicians' unwillingness to tackle the issue. That should be interesting in Sweden as they are moving very far away from protected freedom of speech ideas there, because if you can't have conflicting political ideas, what's the point of having a political system? I don't know. I suppose we'll find out in Switzerland here pretty soon. Let's see here. Moving on to some national news. I've got some fairly good news. I don't know if you guys will remember the story. Happened back in September, where the South Carolina State Trooper, his name was Grubert. He stopped a vehicle which was driven by the 35-year-old LeVar Edward Jones at the Circle K. There was a big video on this. We covered that story pretty extensively. Jones gets out of his vehicle. The police officer Grubert asks the man for his license, and Jones turns to get back into his vehicle, reaches inside for his license, and for reasons that only Grubert can articulate at this point, he fired his service weapon multiple times while yelling repeatedly for Mr. Jones to get out of the car. And of course, Jones wasn't armed at the time, and he told his attorney that he actually suffered some injuries to his hip and is still at home recovering. But bottom line is that officer has now been fired, and there is a pending investigation to find out if he will be investigated further or if he will be actually charged with a crime. I hope that he absolutely is charged with a crime. So finally, police officer shooting somebody and getting fired for it. I gotta say that's good news, which is stupid to have to consider that good news anymore, because obviously somebody shooting somebody, you know, for no reason is never good news, but at least that guy won't be around to do it again. So let's talk about the police state real quick. There's a great article from Justin King over at Activist Post right now. Do you guys know that more than 500 American citizens have died after being tased, which is a device considered to be non-lethal here in the United States? More than 500 citizens died. You know, more people have died since, I think, in the last 4 years at the hands of police than have died in the entire history of policing in the UK. And they've been policing for like 100 years longer than we have. Just a little food for thought there. How about the yearly cost of the war on drugs to the American taxpayer is about $40 billion. What would it cost to end world hunger yearly? About $30 billion. Yeah. There are more than 80,000 military raids conducted by police every year in the United States. There are roughly 2.3 million people locked up in the United States, with another 5 million on probation or parole, which is obviously overwhelming. And then the overwhelming majority of those people locked up are for nonviolent crimes. Awesome. Unicor, an establishment inside the U.S. federal prison system, uses its confined pool of labor to produce war goods for the military. That's fantastic news. Also, in 36% of U.S. SWAT raids, no contraband of any kind is found after the officers risk everyone's life and engage in reckless actions that have shown time and time again to cost lives. An average London resident is recorded right now over 300 times a day by Big Brother's video surveillance. And the only nation to maintain a higher incarceration rate than the United States was Germany back under the Nazis. And 97% of reported police brutality victims are, unfortunately, people of color. And every 98 minutes in our country, a cop kills a family pet. There have been zero recorded officer deaths from a dog in the last decade. So there's our 10 quick facts everybody should know about the police state, because we definitely live in a police state right now. Watchdogs are bracing for surprises that are going to be folded into the massive $1.014 trillion spending bill. The $1.014 trillion bill funds most of the government through September of 2015 and is one of the last trains out of the station as the 113th Congress set to close up shop on Friday, which means this is a final chance for lobbyists and lawmakers to try and find a vehicle for their priorities. And Steve Ellis, who's the vice president of at Taxpayers for Common Sense, says he is ready to be surprised. And there are obviously going to be lots of hidden measures included in the funding bills, and they are expected to release the legislation as of Monday. If the government fails to approve the measure, the government supposedly will shut down on the 12th of December. So we shall see what happens there. It's always the threat of a shutdown that allows these people to push all kinds of goofy things through. So we shall see. I'm always interested in what happens after these huge Cromnibus bills get pushed through. So that is what's going on. Also, Jonathan Gruber back in the news today. It makes me want to pause for just a second to throw a little bit more praise at David Knight and the guys over at InfoWars. David Knight coined the phrase Gruber as a verb the other day, and it honestly makes me laugh so hard. So I'm going to follow suit on that, and I will give David Knight as much credit as I possibly can. But the idea that something now has been Grubered is about the funniest thing I've heard in a week or so. So Mr. Gruber, Jonathan Gruber, the architect of Obamacare, will be set to testimony starting this morning. He's obviously going to be testimony because several videos of Mr. Gruber, who was paid nearly $400,000 by the Obama administration to help design Obamacare. These videos were unearthed in November, in which he bragged about the lack of transparency in the law, which he said was pretty much essential to having it get passed. And on one more occasion between 2012 and 2013, he actually called voters stupid and boasted of exploiting them. So Mr. Gruber will be on the hot seat this morning. I imagine it will be on C-SPAN. But we shall see what happens to Mr. Gruber and what some of the results, hopefully in the dismantling of Obamacare, that will result from these testimonies. On a side note, also, Marilyn Tavner, who is the administrator for the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services, she will also be testifying today over the lack of transparency and deception used to push these laws through. So, Tavner and Gruber on the hot seats today. We shall see what that is going to develop. Anyway, we got to take a quick 3-minute break. We have a little bit more national news, lots of health and tech stuff to get through. So keep it right here, guys. We'll be back again in just about 3 minutes. So keep it right here, guys. Thanks for being here.
So you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio, right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN, worldwide.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Exposing faux capitalism with Jason Earp.
Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. This is, of course, your daily dose of deprogramming. And we are live like we are Monday through Friday, every day, 10 till noon. And we are about halfway through the news segment right now. I want to remind everybody again, Cynthia Marie Brewer will be joining us in about a half an hour for a story that you guys will not want to miss. Probably won't believe because it is just absolutely crazy. But she has all the documentation, guys, and I'm telling you, this is going to be a big one, so do stick with us for the next segment. I'm thinking that this is going to be a showstopper for sure, so very excited to be joined by Cindy Brewer here coming up in the next half an hour. And I guess I got to preface some of this conversation that we're just getting ready to have right now. I know I talk, when we get into the national news, I talk a lot about the police state stuff, but the bottom line, guys, is that's the most important thing that's going on in the national front right now. We are up against the most ridiculous militarized police state that I've ever seen in my life. And so the stories about police brutality and about the police departments in our country and the you know, the agencies responsible, the government's response to brutality, all these things, they're things that we need to talk about. So one of the stories that hit my radar coming out of Ben Swan right now is a story about a police officer in California who has been fired as of this week because he did not use violence. You didn't mishear that. This gentleman, who was a California State University Monterey police officer, he was fired from the force because he chose not to use a taser on a student who was threatening suicide back in February. And this officer, who is a 20-year veteran of the force, he's not been named yet, he's reportedly the first officer on a scene when the CSUMB student was threatening to kill himself in a dorm room. Okay, the student in question, apparently, according to the Free Thought Project, was holding a knife, he had a hammer, and he was also threatening to light himself on fire. Okay, so obviously a volatile situation when this gentleman, 20-year veteran of the police force, arrives on scene. Rather than using his taser on the student, the officer began, and this is really crazy, he began to talk to the student. I know, it's hard to believe, but that's what he did. He started to talk to the student, and it actually resulted in a de-escalation of the situation. That officer then left the room, went to get the student a glass of water when officers from the local Marina Police Department showed up and began to use their tasers on the suicidal student. The Marina Police Chief, Rodriguez, said that the Monterey Herald, this is according to the Monterey Herald, which he said when his officers arrived on the scene, they found blood in the student's dorm. The student's sweater appeared to be singed, and the knife and hammer were also in the room, although not in possession of the students. Rodriguez said the student was clearly a danger to himself, and he was in a crisis. We were trying to keep him from accessing the weapons or from leaving so we could get him medical attention. After the incident, Rodriguez's department issued a failure to act complaint against the campus police officer because he did not engage in the situation as the other officers had done. He just stood there, according to Rodriguez. Now, according to him, there was no reason to react violently because he had already de-escalated the situation, which is actually what law enforcement officers are supposed to do. And in defense of the officer, the president of the statewide University Police Association, Jeff Solomon, said that his officer said and felt that there was no need for the level of force that was applied. He also said that the other officers started yelling and screaming to get down, tasing the student multiple times, and what From what they understand and what was told to the university officer, they actually said, tase him again, tase him again, tase him again. Later, the father of the suicidal student told reporters that it defies logic and is extremely disappointing that at a time where law enforcement is under fire for using more force than is necessary, an officer is being terminated for attempting to use civilized methods to resolve a situation. So that's what's gone on in California, a police officer actually doing his job correctly, trying to do the right thing in a situation, and what happens? Well, he gets fired. So there you go. Philadelphia mayor in the news right now, also on the police officer front, quoted as saying that some police officers out there are becoming increasingly afraid of the community. Obviously, we're talking about Philadelphia right now. And of course, police officers are becoming more afraid of their communities because communities are becoming more afraid of police officers. And, you know, it's not 1996 anymore, you guys. It's almost 2015. There are so many people who have woken up to the idea that law enforcement is essentially an oppression tool from the state. That is the bottom line. And they are, once you start becoming aware that the money system is fake, and then you realize that these people are elevating the state, which is a construct of the minds of men, to a position where the state has more rights than you do, where a law enforcement officer can issue you a ticket for running a stop sign, in which case the state is the victim. If you do not pay the Federal Reserve notes to that ticket, the law enforcement officers will come back to your home and insist that you go live in a cage for a little while. And if you're like me, one of those people who really would rather not live in a cage, well, then the law enforcement officers will kill you. And they have absolutely every right, as we have seen, looking at the Eric Garner situation, they can kill you on film illegally, and it won't matter. Doesn't make any difference. So our communities becoming a little fed up with that. Our communities, our people in the community, starting to recognize that they are being lied to and manipulated, and they are essentially chattel and the source of funding for all of these municipal and local law enforcement agencies is, in effect, oppression. I think the more and more people wake up to that, the more difficulty law enforcement officers are going to have instilling those crooked values onto their people. And I've said it over and over again. I will say it today. I'll say it tomorrow. If you're a law enforcement officer out there and you issue one ticket that puts the state above me, well, that means you're not a good cop anymore. And I'm sorry to have to say that, but if you think that your job is extorting Federal Reserve notes out of people for the benefit of the state or the county or whatever, you are part of the problem. You are not part of the solution. That is not part of keeping me safe. That is part of extorting money out of me. And it's not even real money. I mean, so not only are you extorting money out of me, but you're now opening me up for tax liability because now I have to go trade my labor for fake Federal Reserve notes just so I can give them to you guys. So obviously, you know, it's not a very difficult story to outline in terms of law enforcement oppression these days. So that's my take on it. Again, I know there are great constitutional sheriffs out there that are people out there who actually do conserve people's minority rights and who are there to protect them. And for those people, obviously, you have my complete undying support because I qualify you guys as peace officers, which is not the same thing as a law enforcement officer. So to those of you out there that fit that bill, I applaud you and I thank you for your efforts. I hope that we can get the rest of these law enforcement officers under control. I think that would be a great deal. The Hacktivist Collective Anonymous right now calling for a nationwide march of millions this coming Saturday to demand justice for Michael Brown, Eric Garner, and other African Americans who have died as a result of police violence. And this is coming from RT. They are reporting a day of anger event carried under the burgeoning hashtag Black Lives Matter social movement set to take place on the 13th of December. And although it's tentatively scheduled to kick off in New York City, the hacktivists right now are calling for protests all across the nation. And there have been several protests. They have not died down at all. There was obviously the situation in Berkeley over the weekend was absolutely ridiculous. I do have to point out, I saw one gentleman make the most amazing catch and return throw of a tear gas canister I've ever seen in my life. Guy was totally on the street. This thing bounced towards him. He caught it left-handed, one hand, and without even missing a beat, had it chucked right back at the officers. And I thought that was awesome. Not that I want to promote violence against officers, but when the officers are there promoting violence against you, I don't know what the solution is, guys. I really don't. So I'm going to digress away from that for a few minutes because I don't want to get pigeonholed as somebody who's anti-law enforcement. But I am anti-law enforcement. I am pro-peace officer, and there is a difference, guys. So there you go. Senator now ridiculing Obama for not signing the amnesty order. This is a weird story, and Jerome Corsi actually broke this last week. And I wanted to give it the weekend to see if it was going to get flushed out and find out if it was actually true or not. But it does turn out to be the case that Barack Obama's move to provide amnesty for the 5 million illegal immigrants, he supposedly was doing that through an executive order, but it turns out there was no executive order. There has not been a signed executive order. There is actually no significant direct legal direction that anybody can ascertain to talk about precisely what the president is doing. So essentially what the president did, instead of trying to change law through an executive order, which he has said 20 times in the past that he's not capable of doing, I guess they just went over and whispered in the ear of Jay Johnson over at the DHS and just said, hey, we're just going to put out a memo. That way we don't actually have to enforce anything. But, you know, there's also a huge bombshell that he dropped last week when he revealed that he had learned that the Obama administration is actually opening a facility in Crystal City, Virginia, to implement this presidential amnesty plan. Sessions discovered the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, or the USCIS, is hiring 1,000 full-time and permanent staff members to quickly approve illegal immigrants' applications for amnesty. Sessions also learned that the administration will provide work permits, photo IDs, Social Security, and Medicare to all of the illegal immigrants. He also noted that all of these benefits for the illegal immigrants had already been rejected by Congress, but the Obama administration had initially indicated that illegal immigrants would not be eligible for Social Security benefits, and unfortunately, officials have now had to, the officials have unfortunately been forced to admit the plans now that Sessions has revealed them. And my question is that without an executive order making this thing law, how the problem is now is that we don't have a way to defund it because it isn't actually a law. So Barack has essentially just become an emperor and is just doing all this stuff willy-nilly at his own request. So I don't know. There you go. That's what's going on in your national news front right now. There's a few other things. And again, if you go to redpillreports.com, you can check out the show section and follow along with some of the articles that I'm not able to get to. I want to jump into some economic news right now. Obviously, I don't know if anybody else was watching last night. Oil, man, just on an absolute decline. I saw it hit 62.40 last night. Big time drops. Right now, the Dow is down 164 points, almost 1%, sitting at 17.689. Gold and silver. Wow, gold has taken a huge jump today, up almost $40 an ounce to $12.32. Silver also jumping up about 5% above the $17 mark to $17.22 right now. And oil bouncing back after the lows yesterday, still below $65 a barrel right now at $63.61, showing a trend of improvement right now. Let's see here. There is some speculation, though, and we've talked a little bit about junk bonds and the result of what might happen in the junk bond market as a result of this plunging oil price. But the junk bonds in the energy sector right now are absolutely being hammered. Okay, so the price of oil has plunged nearly 40% just since June. Right now, as I just said, about $63, and the junk bonds in the U.S. energy sector are absolutely getting hammered, as I said. Energy companies sold $50 billion in junk bonds through October, which is actually 14% of all of the junk bonds issued total. But junk-rated energy companies trying to raise new money to service old debt or to try and fund costly fracking or offshore drilling operations are right now suddenly hitting a lot of resistance. And this Erstwhile booming leveraged loans, which are the ugly sisters of junk bonds, are also causing the Fed to have conniptions. Even the Fed chair, Yellen, signaled them out because they involve banks, represent risk to the financial system. Regulators are right now investigating them and are trying to curtail them through macroprudential means, such as cracking down on banks rather than through the monetary means, such as raising rates. And what the Fed has been worried about is already happening in the energy sector. Leveraged loans are absolutely getting mauled. So right now, if you go to leveragedloan.com, you can see a chart that shows the leveraged loan index for the oil and gas sectors. Earlier this year, when optimism about the U.S. shale revolution was still defying gravity, those loans were trading at over 100 cents on the dollar. And in July, when the oil began to swoon, those loans fell below 100 cents on a dollar, and that trend has now accelerated. Up through November, these loans have dropped down to about 92 cents on the dollar. So how bad is that? Well, the number of leveraged loans in the oil and gas sector trading between 80 and 90 cents on a dollar has soared parabolically from 0% in September to 40% now. These loans are now between 10% and 20% in the hole, and some leveraged loans are being traded below 80 cents on the dollar. This is a huge, huge deal. A lot of people are probably not following along with how important this is, but the slide in oil and gas stocks is going to be the canary in the coal mine, ladies and gentlemen. So this is a much longer article than I'm able to get into right now, but definitely something to check on. McDonald's in the news right now, not in a good way. So if one ignores all traditional staple indicators of a growing economy, such as stable, which means not plummeting crude demand, or stable, which means not plummeting holiday spending, and stable, which means not plummeting McDonald's store sales, then indeed the U.S. economy has decoupled from the rest of the world, and those who wish to demonstrate the same intellectual capacity as Tim Geithner will welcome you to the latest recovery, and or non-recovery, as it were. But for those who are still leery of the seasonally adjusted government data showing soaring low-wage jobs offset by crashing employment in the energy sector and M&A synergies which mysteriously are never captured, or sentiment surveys and confidence polls of Wall Street executives and government workers, here is the latest data from McDonald's showing the worst U.S. comp store sales in nearly 12 years, down 4.6%. And this makes me wonder if following America inability to even pay for sub-$1 meals, are we going to see mass starvation after the fact? Or is this maybe just a result of people waking up to the fact that McDonald's only really sells poison and probably wouldn't want to be eating that anyway? I don't know, but McDonald's sales down 4.6%, the lowest they have been in over 12 years. That is a huge story. You know, McDonald's, obviously one of the staples of our society, unfortunately, taking a major, major hit in the economy this week. So that is what's going on there. Moving into some science and tech news right now. Sony has reported another hack just as of yesterday. This one affected their PlayStation network as it went off air for a number of hours. It was apparently responsibility from the hack has been claimed by a group called the Lizard Squad, and essentially all they did was take the PlayStation network off air. People were not able to connect as they were playing games. Not really a big deal, and not a lot of indication that it was connected to the hack that Sony dealt with just last week, which obviously was a massive, massive hack, as over 100 terabytes of data was stolen from Sony. No indication necessarily that these things are connected, although Lizard Squad does warn them that more attacks are coming. So we shall see what Sony's response to that is. How about a sports car? This is really cool. A sports car that completely runs on salt water. Yep, all on salt water. It will go from 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds, and it has already been approved for the roads inside of the European Union. I love it. This thing looks like a Koenigsegg, and I love those things. So sports cars may not always have the best reputation for being environmentally friendly, but this car, which you can see if you go to redpillreports.com and get into the science and tech news for the day, you will be able to see this car. It's been designed to reach 217 miles an hour using nothing but salt water. Its radical drive system allows the 5,000-pound vehicle to reach 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds, which makes it just as fast as the McLaren P1. Amazing stuff here. And after making its debut at the 2014 Geneva Motor Show back in March, the saltwater technology has now been approved and certified for use on European roads. The car has got 920 horsepower and uses something known as an electrolyte flow cell power system to promote four electric motors inside the car. It kind of works the same way a hydrogen fuel cell works, except now the liquid stored for the liquid used for storing the energy is salt water in this case. And so the liquid passes through a membrane between the two tanks, creates an electrical charge, and that electricity is then stored and distributed by super capacitors. So very cool, and I'll tell you what, this car looks really neat, and I want one. I'd love to see the fact. I would hope that we would all move into cars that can go that fast that are powered by salt water, because that's, you know, I don't want to give up my my internal combustion motor. I'm a big fan of the Harley Davidsons and things like that because they're just awesome, and I don't necessarily want to do a lot of environmental damage either while I'm enjoying my life. So if we could kind of come up with some sort of hybrid, I'm actually looking at getting some of those hydrogen on demand systems we found the other day. Online, they make little hydrogen on-demand systems. Doesn't require you to store hydrogen in your car, but creates it with a small charge and then puts it into your air intake, which will give you, a lot of people don't know that you only get about 30% burn with the gas in your car, and by adding hydrogen, you can knock that up all the way to 100, almost doubling your gas mileage just like that. And there are literally countless YouTube videos and countless companies that make those little conversion kits, and I'm definitely thinking about getting one for my car. Try and, you know, mitigate the environmental damage that we all do while we're driving around. How about quantum teleportation? Teleportation's been in the news a little bit. About 5 years ago, researchers could only teleport quantum information, such as which direction a particle is spinning, and they could only really transport that information across a couple of meters. But now they can actually beam that information across several miles. So in a recent experiment, the quantum state, which is the direction a light particle was spinning, was the quantum state of that light particle was instantly transmitted 15.5 miles across an optical fiber, becoming the furthest successful quantum teleportation feat as of yet. And advances in quantum teleportation could obviously lead to better internet and communication security and get scientists closer to developing quantum computers. Now, we're not at a point right now where someone can just be beamed from New York to London or something like that, but they are working on it, and big strides in that respect coming out of that research. Very interesting stuff there. And a report from Moscow, a Russian astrophysicist says his team has located a huge mountain-sized asteroid whose orbit actually crosses the Earth's every 3 years. Now, even though experts are saying that the giant object known as 2014 UR116 poses no immediate threat of collision, it is expected, its unexpected discovery underscores how little is still known about asteroids and their unpredictable orbits. Lupinov, who is a professor at the Moscow State University, he announced the find in a documentary that just got posted on the Russian Space Agency's website this Sunday. He goes on to say that the asteroid, which he calculates is 370 meters in diameter, could hit the Earth with an explosion 1,000 times greater than the surprise 2013 impact of a bus-sized meteor in Russia. That object entered Earth's atmosphere over the city of Chelyabinsk and resulted in a series of ferocious blasts that blew out windows and damaged buildings for miles around. So interesting that they found another one out there. Cool stuff coming out of Russia and their astrophysics department. I want to jump quickly to a little bit of health news here quickly before we run out of time. 200 passengers On the Dawn Princess, which is a cruise ship run by Princess Cruises, which is a division of Carnival Cruises. 200 passengers on that cruise ship have been struck by an outbreak of norovirus, according to the New Zealand health authorities. The ship and about 1,500 passengers aboard were scheduled to leave for Australia on Monday and returning to Melbourne after a 13-day trip. But for those of you who don't know, norovirus is a gastrointestinal illness. Lasts between 1 and 3 days. Symptoms usually include stomach pain, nausea, diarrhea, vomiting. It's pretty bad, and especially really bad if you're captive on a big floating hotel like a cruise ship. But it bears noting here that even though cruise ships are known for the norovirus outbreaks, the disease is actually pretty rare on cruise ships, and it's a lot more common on land. Although I probably wouldn't have done what the CEO of Carnival Cruises did by citing that exact statistic. He went on Twitter and said, if you don't want to get the norovirus, you should really go on a cruise. I don't know if maybe the CEO of Carnival Cruises coming out and saying like that right now, probably not really the best move, in my opinion. Let's see, some other studies right now coming out of health news. A huge story on Green Med Info, which you can find again over at redpillreports.com under the health section there. The real benefits of lemon water, according to science. This is a relatively long article, but it does talk about lemons as a source of vitamin C, about how much benefit can be done for people who will replace coffee with lemon water every morning. And if you were to do it for 2 weeks, they say you could see some pretty significant benefits, improving in your digestion, obviously alkalining your body a little bit with lemon water can help. They also go on to talk about weight loss and appetite suppressants. So lemon water, probably very, very important stuff going on there. I want to get on to another story here before I forget about it. Let's see here. No, I'm going to miss it here. I'm trying to find one that was sent to me via Skype. Very important stuff here regarding the elite think tanks admitting to ongoing climate engineering experiments. I'm not going to get to this article. So, again, I recommend everybody go check out redpillreports.com. There is a fantastic portion of that page that is dedicated on a daily basis to all of the show news and to our guests. And obviously I have a lot of trouble getting through all the news because so much has happened. There was a huge fire in LA yesterday. If you haven't seen the pictures from that, it looked apocalyptic. That will blow your mind, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, check out redpillreports.com. Go through some of the news. See what we missed. Stay right here. We've got a 3-minute break. When we come back, Cynthia Marie Brewer in the flesh, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be a high water mark for the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. Keep it here, guys.
Haven't you always wanted your very own Truth Frequency Radio bumper sticker? To get the word out about the fastest growing news talk outlet in the independent media? Joe Joseph here for TruthFrequencyRadio.com. KTFRN and LibertyStickers.com have teamed up to give you your very own Truth Frequency Radio bumper sticker for free. Just go to TruthFrequencyRadio.com/stickers today. And don't forget to visit our friends at LibertyStickers.com, home of the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. Their vast selection and quality of stickers are second to none. TruthFrequencyRadio.com, because silence is consent.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken, but it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
You are listening to the True Frequency Radio Network.
No hate, no hype, no fear.
Bit of jazz, but it might be really cool people in it.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. I think maybe we're getting a little bit of extra accolades there from our guest, Cynthia Marie Brewer, who I think we could hear just a little bit over the theme song there, and appreciate your approval of our radio station, young lady, and want to tell you how excited we are to have you joining us today, Ms. Brewer. This is I've been trying for like the last 12 hours to figure out a way to encapsulate your story in some kind of, nutshell sort of program here. And I'm having a lot of trouble doing it because your story is just so amazing, Cynthia. So I'll start off and just say Cynthia was born in Long Beach, back in 1964. We're going to date her here a little bit. But the entire story about Cynthia Marie Brewer essentially revolves around the fact that you were an unwitting participant in the International Human Genome Project. And how that came about is beyond fascinating to me. So, Cynthia, I think I'd like to just kind of start right there. If you could, just let us know a little bit about your background, and if you could, just kind of tell us about your story, because I think people are really going to be fascinated by this.
Well, I guess we'll begin in 97.
Okay.
It actually started before that, but we'll begin there. I was told that I had cancer, and I had a tumor in my hip joint, my buttock, my right butt cheek.
Okay.
So I went in and supposedly got it excised, and it was a radical surgery that resulted in amputation of my right butt cheek and part of my right leg. And then it was necessary to have three additional surgeries on that same. And it's about a 2-foot-long area where they skeletonized the sciatic nerve. It was really gross and really, really big deal.
Right.
And then I just had all of these social and economic problems that were just beyond what anybody else could even comprehend going through this. You know, here I was invalid. I get thrown out of the hospital without so much as a bowel movement. While I'm sitting in there, I have all of these terrible, terrible drugs being put into my arms. And the staff is just abusive and awful to me. And after the surgery, they throw me out the back door and say my insurance wouldn't cover anything. I'd get denied disability, even though I paid. Basically, I was invalid for 2 years. And they also gave me 8,000 rads of radiation to a quarter of my body, which anybody that studies that knows that normally, people don't live through that.
Right.
So, I have a really bad horror story about what happened to me.
Can I ask? What hospital was this in? If I can ask.
It was UCLA in Westwood.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And following that, and I had a what I perceived, but I really don't know what this was a life after death experience, and I was put back in my body.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Okay. I had that happen to me twice.
Okay.
The first time I was loaded up with a whole bunch of information. It was as though they took a memory chip and stuck it in my brain and gave me the wisdom of everything and how everything ticks, et cetera.
You're talking about?
And within an hour.
While you were out in the ether, so to speak, that you were essentially given like an information dump into your brain?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Big time.
Okay.
And I also met with people. There was a council of five that were basically there. They were light people. They were the most beautiful beings I've ever seen.
Wow.
Just absolutely perfect. And behind them was nothing but bright white light. There was no distractions, nothing to look at. It was just them in the light, and they themselves were just basically glowing.
Wow, okay.
So I come to, and I wake up, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, this is really heavy. And it was like, I wish I would have jotted notes down or something.
Right.
because all of this information was fading within, 5 minutes or so. Visually, what I saw was a file folder open up and a piece of paper with the information on it get put into the file folder, and then another piece, and then another piece, and then that got put into a file drawer. The drawer got closed, and it started going more and more rapidly until it filled a file cabinet. That file cabinet moved aside, and another one pulled up, and the next thing I knew, I was standing in this white area with file cabinets beyond what the eye could see.
Wow, okay.
Okay, so that was what I thought was my dream. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
On the third surgery, I get taken back up there, but this time I don't get to go into whatever, same level crap or whatever it is. It's very hard to describe. It's more like being in a pool and putting your fingertips on the edge of the pool instead of being on the concrete.
Okay, okay.
Which is how I would probably describe it. And basically, I was pulled back up. This is my third surgery. Ultimately, in hindsight, this is where they took a massive. So I'm just trying to put you in perspective.
Right. I need to pause for just a sec because
we have surgery that I go in for. I get taken up there.
I was just saying we're having a little bit of network stuff, so if I have to ask you to repeat something, I apologize. But I think that. Every time you and I seem to have a conversation, we get a lot of the fade in and the fade out kind of thing, and I think it's somebody doesn't want us talking about this. So could you just repeat your last sentence that you had just talked about?
Sure thing. So on the third surgery, I get taken up into the ethers or wherever this place is,
mm-hmm.
and I don't actually get to go through the door. This time I have to stay at the threshold. And basically, they all just said to me, that was not a dream.
Right, okay.
And I'm still in denial of this at the time because things are a little, I was atheist. I was raised atheist.
Okay.
This is just completely bizarre to me. This is like something that I think I've concocted in my own mind.
Right.
Okay. So I get sent back to my body, and this time I'm begging and pleading to stay there. And I come back cursing and swearing because they throw me out. Screaming bloody murder, and I turn over and see my bus more missing, and I just went, oh, and said a cuss word and knew I was down for the count.
Right.
Okay? I'm back. Let's put it that way. So, all of these things are going on, and things like the anesthesiologist wouldn't come back to do another surgery, but he was so delightful. He was like my savior the first time because he was so calm and cool and collected.
Right.
Well, when he came back on one of my surgeries, when I went down, he shot a chair out. He screamed, oh, my God, and the chair shot out and hit the equipment.
Wow.
So something else is going on here that is metaphysical or unexplainable by modern science.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going through all these social and economic problems for a number of years after being invalid, and I'm obviously disabled for life, mutilated.
Right.
And in 2008, I ran into somebody that's having identical problems. Oh, my gosh, I see this matrix. So I go over I move into his house, and I'm doing, quote-unquote, the old straw man redemption
right.
thing is going on. And what I've done in the process of doing that is completing the civil procedures for the Administrative Procedures Act. Mm-hmm. And the thing that most people left out of the equation is the fact that you need something to back the security instrument. Well, I got their agreement to use their bodies, and this would be the president and the cabinet.
Okay.
At the top of this. That caused the crash in 2008 of the stock market.
Okay, we got.
And
we
that's what. That's,
you know. I want to extrapolate on that. Now, how are those events connected specifically in your mind?
Well, because do you remember the bailout?
I do, yes, ma'am.
Okay. What you're asking for when you're asking a very quick and simple question at this juncture is something that is extraordinarily a very, very, very long answer.
Okay.
Okay, this would be geared towards somebody that's already walked the walk and has the talk. This is very advanced information that I'm discussing that would require, I don't know, years to be able to come.
Okay.
If you haven't already been there.
Okay. But essentially what we're saying is that the power that floats our fiat currency, we were all under the impression that it was your birth certificate, you know, that they have somehow capitalized and monetized your future time, talent, and energy, your labor, and that's what floats the fiat currency. But you say, and I believe you, that it's actually moved beyond that now. We're kind of at like fiat currency 2.0, where the backing of our currency and the backing of our monetary system, so to speak, is essentially the ownership of your DNA. Is that correct?
We're going to truncate where I left off here, because we're jumping around now.
Okay.
Okay? You get it? This is a multidimensional story, and it is very hard to tell. You can't tell it linearly.
Okay.
Putting it on paper puts it in two dimensions, and it's just harder than you to believe.
Right.
Okay. So we're truncating at the 2008 episode. The reason I brought that episode up is because when this happened, I had a war over my computer, and everything that had happened to me, well, not everything, but a lot of it was disclosed to me.
Okay.
The university and students of the university that were participating in this and know instinctively that it was a wrongdoing came clean and told me what they had done to me.
Okay.
Okay? And everything that they told what they had done in 1997 was they had taken a biologically functional chimera out of my head.
Wow. So you're talking about like a xenoplant.
What that means, yes.
Okay.
I can't believe you knew that word. Thank God. What they had done is they had taken my DNA and they had spliced it and put multiple different animals' DNA attached to it so that they could find out what part of the DNA controls what develops into what triggers what.
Okay.
Okay, this goes back to ancient mythology. And this is where they have like the centaur and you see the, I can't remember the name of them, but the dog head with the human body in Egypt.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's the xenoplant. You get it. Well, basically they took this thing out of my hip. It was about 10 pounds. It was alive, but it was, and breathing, but it was deaf and blind.
Wow.
Okay.
What did it
was called recombinant DNA.
Okay. Okay. What did it look like? What was it made of?
I didn't see that. They were going to show me, and I cracked.
Oh, okay.
This had been going on since 97 until 2008. I had been through hell and back over and over and over and over. Mm-hmm. Okay? I had helicopters, tracking chips, people following me everywhere. It was just incredible.
Wow.
I had to live on a closed account checkbook, for God's sake.
Right.
Yeah, talk about socially unacceptable.
Right.
This was no fun.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I need sustenance to remain in this existence on this plane. You know, I had to have food and necessities of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, your question again was.
Well, I'm just trying to kind of get my mind around why it was that they chose you for this specific set of experiments? Were you the only person that was experimented on like this?
No, but do let me tell the listeners where they can find some of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It came out in the news as Dolly the sheep. That was no sheep. Dolly existed, but she was at the Roslin Institute. And it was a prerequisite to be a cloned animal to be at the Roslin Institute, and they'd already done hundreds of them at the time that they released it.
Okay.
Okay. This whole thing was supposed to grow on my mesentery attached to the intestinal wall and correct when they originally did it with a frog.
Okay.
Okay. Everybody was surprised it showed up in the hip joint attached to the sciatic nerve. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit more foundation. After I woke up from these things, because they had given me 6 lethal injections at the time, I have to explain my explanations exponentially.
Okay.
World courts, where the people want to make a new world order, a new world government. Okay? Mm-hmm. And what they had was they wanted to be able to delegate different responsibilities to different countries of the world. China would be shipping in whatever, and technology would be given to Japan, or assembly would be. And Mexico could do agriculture. That's not accurate. That's the principle behind what I'm getting at.
Okay, okay.
The United States sitting there says, we want to be the Federal Reserve of the world. So everybody else in the other countries turns to them and goes, you've got to be kidding. You are the biggest debtor on the planet. You have nothing backing your currency because in the Nixon administration, this is the truth behind Watergate that nobody really knows. What they did is they gave the gold out, and he was going to do the Human Genome Project back then to get the DNA sequencing for trade, but he resigned rather than being impeached because the people didn't want it. And then they made the U.S. currency backed by the good faith and credit of the American people. Mm-hmm. So you had counterfeit currency going around instead of fiat currency.
Okay.
So the United States says, oh, no, no. We do have something we're going to back the world currency with. And it's going to be the blood of the saints, human DNA. Mm-hmm. We're going to capture the energy and intellect of humanity as the baseline for the currency. And the rest of the world agreed. So, what the biggest significant thing that they did to me in that first surgery with the recombinant DNA, understand that the whole world got together and tried to maximize this one human taking. So they had run more studies on me than you could imagine. Okay?
Okay.
They had hooked me up to try to read my brain, and it's called brain and reproductive. Okay? They were doing reproductive studies. So on film, under anesthesia, they raped me, they turned me on my side, they cut open a 2-foot section of my leg, took a biologically functional chimera out, sewed up my leg so it was a mutilation, and then they proceeded to give me 6 lethal injections. The plague, AIDS, influenza, smallpox, I don't remember what the other two, but I can find it. Okay? Mm-hmm. And those patents on this stuff were passed out to the world to act as beneficiaries. They went to the universities and colleges. They went to Goldman and Sachs. They went to J.P. Morgan. They went to the big businesses and industries and the organizations and institutions of the planet.
Can you expand on that? I'm not sure exactly what the "they" is that was sent to these banks and things like that. What are we talking about? Portions of your DNA, or?
It was called the Uniprot Consortium. And yes, it was portions of it to be able to get rich off of, basically. Myriad got the sequences for the breast cancer. That's BRCA1, BRCA2. I bring that up because they're the best seller.
Right. Now, I have to ask, you mean that this sequence creates breast cancer or cures breast cancer?
The sequence, when normal, gives a normal result. If morphed, it turns into breast cancer, and then they charge, $10,000 for each sequence, to be able to identify it. Basically, they're giving everybody diseases, and within a patent, they're controlling the protocol, which is the treatment and not the cure.
Right.
And that treatment results in murdering people to the highest, well, it's not deliberately, intentionally to murder people, maybe. It has to do with what's the highest bottom line. We do this to them, we give them these drugs, we do this to them, we give them those drugs. And basically, by the time you finish, you've got a handful of drugs and surgery and radiation and chemotherapy and on it goes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so the person ends up dead, ultimately. Sometimes they're taking the estate of the person for payment for the person's looking for the cure and they're giving a treatment.
Right, right.
Okay, and you can't violate the patent because the patent, and that's what the healthcare with patent protection is about. This is what it's all about because they're trying to now rob the Federal Reserve of the world as they bring people down because nobody has anything left to pay with, basically.
Ah, okay, okay.
Okay, that's what the healthcare initiative is about.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point in there that I'm missing now.
Well, I'm confused, so, I guess, a little bit about what it was about your specific genetic makeup that made you a target in this.
Well, if we could direct it to your first and primary question of why this is so significant, let's get back to that. Then we'll get on to the details of what happened there.
Okay, okay.
Done under this was they had taken my blood, and they had Goldman and Sachs got the patent from the Uniprot Consortium held in Switzerland, which is where they agreed under world government to do the human taking to maximize everything.
Okay.
So, and that's where the secret bank accounts are, and they're guarded by the Vatican is the whole shooting match. Yes, it's all them. It's them all.
Okay.
Okay. So, what they did is they took the blood, they did the Genentech got the patent to be able to do the sequencing, and that's Goldman's subsidiary.
Okay.
To be barcoded. Because they were, what the sequencing is a digitized resemblance of the real characteristic that fits into a barcode that they can put into a computer.
Okay.
And that way they can trade it around the world under the International Trade Organization using us as the asset that backs world currency.
Wow. Hmm. Okay.
Okay. So don't for 1 minute think it doesn't get more complex than that, but that's the simplified version.
Okay.
Okay, so that barcode is now printed on your birth certificate. And they have a central index key that they work off of. And what they do is, off of that, they create a bunch of derivatives and futures.
Okay? Okay.
So what they're claiming is that you are a human resource for their benefit.
Hmm.
A human resource for their benefit is because they're not recognizing you as the source.
Right, right. Wow.
So it's a blasphemous claim to own your energy, intellect, and all of the attachments, fixtures, derivatives, and futures of your entire life.
Wow. So, I mean, I know a lot of people really thought for the longest time that it was either tied into your birth certificate or your death certificate or things like that. But what you're saying now is effectively that they have, I mean, effectively they've patented the human being, right? Individually.
They patented the human genome. That was the significance.
Wow, it's just incredible.
The news. This has been going, this cloning thing has been going on for years and years and years, but they patented the human genome.
Mm-hmm.
They claim to be God and that they own you.
Wow. That's just
okay? Remarkable.
Yeah, yeah.
You following?
I'm with you. I'm just trying to get my mind around it. It's a big story, you know. It's a lot, there's a lot going to it, because then obviously, you know, if they're able to take a complete genome and then break it into components, don't we see, or couldn't we anticipate them using that in technology and in biotech and biowarfare? I mean, this seems like this would bleed over into every aspect of our society at this point, you know?
It did. That's what they modeled the internet after. That's what they modeled the satellite and telecommunications after. That's what they modeled computers after. They modeled everything around the planet. This is the funds. This, I don't know where it stands today, but in 2008, I was technically the principal of 2/3 of the world's economy. I don't know where it is now.
That seems strange that they would be trying so hard to kill you then with the lethal injections.
That's why they're trying to kill me.
Because then what would happen if
going on? Huh?
Why would they do that? I don't understand what would happen if they killed the principal. Does that mean then that they would have ownership over everything at that point? Or I guess I don't understand why removing the principal would be an issue.
Because it's my valid claim. You see, there is a higher law and there is a higher trust. And that trust is the will or trust of God, the prime creator. That's
right.
My intellect. That's my energy.
Right. That makes sense. I understand that. Okay.
Okay?
Wow. Okay.
So under mankind's laws, they have assumed a principle through the resourcing of the source, which was a dispensation from the trust of God given to me, bestowed upon me in the Bible.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense then that you would have been the number one national security threat for a long time, you know?
You can't imagine what that led into.
I wonder what they were worried that you were going to do, though. You know, what did they think your recourse was going to be against them?
Well, and that is the prime question. And I'll tell you why. It's because under mankind's law, the minute that you go to them for remedy, you're assuming them, you're surrendering your birthright and noble inheritance over to them to give them the power and authority to make the decision.
Right.
So it's a catch-22. This is not done on this three-dimensional plane.
Right.
It can't be. Okay, there was nobody to call. Meanwhile, this is what Clinton was the signatory, and so was Tony Blair, and the Vatican agreed to it.
Wow.
You can't go to those people. They're the ones that are benefiting. Furthermore, it came from the world court.
Right.
You know, people go, well, what's higher than the president and Congress? Well, the world court is, and above the world court, you have to trust the God.
Right.
So when people are doing their paperwork, etc., it's the trust of God. It's the highest law that we need to be addressing.
I agree. Okay, we've got to take a quick 3-minute break. We're going to be right back with more of Cynthia Marie Brewer. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. And we'll talk about how her DNA has been used in biowarfare and things like that. Keep it right here, guys. 3-minute break.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRA. Worldwide.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Since our founding in 2005, we at YouTube have continually strived to bring you the best possible video experience on the internet. But now, we're updating YouTube to make it even better and give our users more of what they want. Introducing YouTube Plus, the new and improved version of YouTube. We're bringing a whole bunch of great new additions to YouTube. First of all, we're leveling the playing field by entirely removing subscriptions. You know how we've been phasing out subscriptions and making them less and less important by taking them off your home screen? Well, now subscriptions are non-existent. Everyone is equal. YouTubers that put in hours and hours of effort to make quality videos will be at the same level as 12-year-old Call of Duty gamers and video bloggers. Now you might be asking, how do I know what to watch now? Well, now your home screen is going to be filled with videos we think you'll like. Did you accidentally click on a My Little Pony video once? Well, now your home screen is going to be filled with videos just like that.
YouTube Plus. We owe 99% of the content creators.
The Kev Baker Show,
Monday through Friday, True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. This is, of course, your daily dose of deprogramming. My name is JD, and we are live like we are every day, Monday through Friday, and we are in the last segment with our guest today. Of course, Cynthia Marie Brewer has been kind enough to join us on the program, and we've been talking a lot about genetics, about some of the experiences that have taken place in her life, which are, to put it in a word, strange, to say the least. And I would like to also then kind of move out. We talked about how her genetic code was taken, certain attributes were then taken from it, and then companies apparently are trading and selling the genetic sequence attributes from Cynthia's genetic composition. So can we talk a little bit about that, about who are these companies that are trading these things, and what we might actually be able to pinpoint that they're doing with this stuff, Cynthia?
Well, in 2008, there was over 12 million of them selling them.
Over 12 million companies.
So you can pretty much look. Yeah, that was 2008. We're in 2014 now, so you
right.
do the math.
Right.
Okay, basically, they come through the institutions such as the colleges and universities. They're held by the bankers, known as the cabal. They are held by religious organizations. They're all investors in what this was, or and beneficiaries of this entire thing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's done over the housing market for one thing. So that's what caused the bubble and the fraud for the Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. It's because your DNA, let's just say you get booked into and textile companies, textiles and mutual funds. It's the stock market.
Okay.
You've been made into a stock animal, not the commodities. You are sold as a commodity and a stock. They've morphed all of the laws from the universe into making themselves the beneficiaries of other people's innate rights and innate inheritance.
Right.
Okay. So pretty much if you go on a military industrial complex, they use the Brie Celgene and clone lines as the baseline for all the biotech and biological, radiological, and chemical weapons.
You mean, so they're using the genetic material then to like attempt to do genetic targeting with those weapons? Is that how that works, or?
All of the above. It's multifaceted and it's designed to maximize the bottom line.
Right.
The other thing is the reason that this happened, and this happened back in like the 60s and 70s, was Eisenhower made a trade pact with the aliens. Aliens, we don't really know what they are. We just know that they're extraterrestrial.
Okay.
The Tesla technologies that came out gave the ability to cloak by putting in a different resonant frequency, by morphing the universal laws that are existing here, or utilizing them because they already exist. And okay, there's basically multiple different dimensions that lay over top of us, and they're cloaked.
Right.
They're here. Whether they're humans from a different timeline, whether they are different species, and all of those questions can be answered with a resounding yes to all of it.
Hmm. Well, I want to know then,
because
here's where my brain goes with all of this. Is obviously I have been concerned. I'll back up. I know for a fact that our consciousness is infinite, and that your consciousness is a frequency, right? And if they can somehow relate that frequency of your consciousness to a specific DNA, wouldn't it be possible then for them to somehow, at least according to their, you know, words on paper type definition, to own your soul or own your frequency? And then wouldn't these people also be trying to figure out a way to perpetually trap that frequency here in this plane to keep us from, becoming more evolved or from becoming enlightened? What do you think about that? And how does frequency relate to this?
And they're recycling us. That's what reincarnation is. That's exactly what they're doing.
Okay.
And we're stuck here. We're stuck here on this wheel that was never designed to be utilized the way that it is being utilized by those who are controlling it.
So,
and that's why the Disclosure Project is going on, because the other beings are going, oh my God, what they've done to them. We need to get involved.
Right, right. Wow, this is just super deep, because I'm still caught on the idea then, if they can patent your DNA and essentially own you as a commodity or own your frequency, then could they clone an exact duplicate of your body and use that as sort of a trap for your, I mean, wouldn't that obviously work just like the radio that you just left if you die? If they create a new radio in that exact image, wouldn't you then inherently, that would create a situation of reincarnation, would it not? I mean, isn't that what these people are ultimately trying to do, is become God by being able to create life and intelligence in a way that is controlled by them? I mean, is that obviously the ultimate goal here?
Yes.
Well, that's scary, Cynthia. I don't like it. I don't care for that at all. So if we could stop the world, I would like to get off now, please, because I don't want to be involved with that. I'm just saying. You know?
Yeah. Yes. And here is the way out that I have discovered. You see, when you acknowledge and validate and accept the other frequencies and the we'll call them extraterrestrials, even though I don't have a word for the invisible beings. They're not imaginary beings, they're invisible beings.
Yeah, and from a different dimension.
Crazy.
No, it's just that we know that dimensions exist now. It's 2014. It's not a crazy thing to think that there might be a frequency out there that only exists in another plane. That's pretty that's metaphysics at this point, but I still think it's pretty valid, you know.
Oh, it's extraordinarily valid. It's just like a TV. Yeah, it picks up a frequency and gives you a picture.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And they killed Tesla just shy of his completion of that technology.
Right, right.
You know, Tesla of his intellect, and they stole the technology and murdered his body. We are two-part beings, at least. We have material that we're made of, and we have the energy that animates us
right,
and gives us intellect. Mm-hmm. Okay? Acknowledgement of that and the use of that to control through you, the channel being an emissary of God, God being the energy, mm-hmm. Okay? Man being the cross between the energy and the matter. Okay?
Yep.
So when the reason that they're selling you on the real estate market is because you are real, and then energy is the first letter of estate, and then the state is your state of being. So it's real estate, and it's spelled with one capital on each one. Hmm. Now, when they take this and put it into a two-dimensional thing, such as a birth certificate, they capitalize all letters, and they're referencing a two-dimensional image of the energies and intellect in which you are dispensed. And what they've done in the course in that is they have taken that straw man or real estate in all capital letters and usurped that stuff as the resource.
Right. Wow. Okay, so how do we get out of it?
Well, you have the primary thing is you need to accept and validate that it is there. People need to come to that conclusion or understanding to give them the wisdom. And what you do from there is you examine the laws of the universe, which were ordained by the prime creator. And that is the energy and intellect. It is the morphing of those laws, and that is the trust of God or the will of God that I'm referring to when I say that that is your way out. You need to get those universal laws, everything under the sun, including chemistry, which makes it alchemy when reapplied, and nature. Once you see where their morphing is, you can then identify what needs to be rebalanced. And when you rebalance those, the ancient wisdom, the laws of the universe, things will come back to you. And that's what I'm in the process of doing. I mean, we're all learning.
Right, right. Well, okay, my question right now then, I want to believe that there might be some infighting going on as we kind of come to this point in history and in time now where you know, the powers that be have essentially cornered the market on value. You know, they own essentially us. They own our future time, talent, and energy, right? So I'm trying to figure out.
They don't.
Well, they pretend to. They think they do, I guess,
that,
is what I'm saying.
That is an unjust and unrighteous morphing that is written into mankind's law. They don't own that. We still have free will.
Right.
We still do things of our own volition. However, they're instilling fear and torture and threat and all of these awful things to maintain that control. And it was one thing when they did it to the mat. They would hang you upside down in a cave or put you on a cross or whatever.
Right.
Okay. But now what they've done is they've gotten the technologies to be able to do mind control, and they have conditioned us to fall within the forfeiting of our birthright, being our power and our authority, to over to them. In the quest for the answer, we went to mankind, which is a fallacy within itself, because under mankind's law, which is law, we've got a problem. You have to go to universal law, and you have to ask for the power from above. That's the significance of prayer.
Ah, I understand that. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so it's an asking and a receiving, and it is the acknowledgement of that energy and intellect that's coming through you that you don't just receive the energy and intellect, you must return it to the source for transmutation so it's clean and pure. Okay? This is like a simulation of process, almost like a training ground to get the wisdom required to be able to join the other aliens, for lack of a better word, because understand these universal laws, and you get out there, you're going to do something out of the ego, which is the thought that's within the matter without the recognition of that higher source coming to you. Okay? You're going to get out there, and you're going to do something as corrupted as is going world.
Right. But it seems like
basically, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it seems like we, though, especially as Americans, we've really been trained to forfeit our consent to anything, really. You know, it's like, that's,
absolutely.
I don't know, how are we going to overcome that barrier, I guess, would be my question.
Well, the first thing is to get the understanding of what's happening. And to get the understanding, you need both knowledge, which is read out of a book or given to you over a radio show or whatever,
right.
plus the experience. That experience is what everybody's dealing with, that where they're getting tortured and all of these awful things, okay? That knowledge plus experience equals the wisdom. And people that go, that listen to the experiences of others and open their minds and put themselves in the shoes of that person and truly comprehend what has happened, allows them to realize, I don't need the experience of getting hit by a locomotive because I think that that's going to cause harm because I can see that it happened to somebody else and I'm...
Right. Right.
Okay. So that knowledge plus experience equals wisdom is what we're after. We're after the wisdom to be able to discern between good and evil, which is a judgment. And we're not supposed to judge. I have defined what I judge as good is that feels that benefits you, and that which harms you would be considered evil. Okay, so we get the wisdom of good and evil.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that correlates to my viewpoint on, you know, God being essentially the energy that derives the intention for everything to find balance, you know, on a very, you know, molecular type level. And if you are aligned with that, then obviously, you know, that shows you pretty clearly what the good and the evil is in the world, in my opinion.
Yes, anything that goes against the laws of nature and the universe is a morphing of it, and it will cause you to have problems.
Right.
If you are within a system where you are endorsing that, such as, I mean, you know, back in 2008, 12 million people selling the souls of men. I mean, literally, they're literally the marketplace.
Yeah, it's just so astounding when you really stop and think about that. I mean, if that is actually true, they essentially have really monetized and believe that they own our souls. And I don't even know how to get my mind around that. That's such an enormous concept, because it is the fear that I have had for such a long time after, you know, watching these people with obvious God complexes moving down the line, you know. And I wanted to come back to the infighting issue, because to me, it seems like there's a group of people out there that understand that their agenda would be that of depopulation, to try and get rid of as many people as possible so that we can get back to this, you know, quote unquote utopia, 500 million people or something to that effect. But then you would also have the other side of the coin, the people who recognize now that your DNA is the value on the planet, and that eliminating those would limit their own power. So I'm wondering if we see some sort of infighting going on amongst those two groups kind of at the top.
Well, they are replacing us. Basically, they're hybridizing us.
Right.
Okay? They're hybridizing us, and and their intention is just to make things better. I mean, if we have our telekinetic powers and psychic powers restored to... ...resentment that you couldn't believe, not just from the people that did this, but because after I was dumped in the street, disabled, crippled, mutilated, and all of these awful things, nobody lent me a helping hand. I didn't
really
even get a meal from it. What I got was the wisdom.
Right.
Yeah. They really, really did a number on me. Okay? But now, getting back to what you were saying, life, we are eternal energy. So even if we are not realizing the commercial or material wealth from it, which is what they've taken, we are gaining the wisdom. And I got to tell you, wisdom is worth more to me than any material wealth.
Oh, I agree with that for sure.
Okay. And what I did was they thrown me in the psychiatric wards and given me lethal injections and all kinds of crap there trying to euthanize me.
Okay.
That was an order signed by Condoleezza Rice, and it was an act of Congress, and that happened back in 2000, and I think it was 2003 that they actually gave me the injection.
Have you seen that order? I mean, have you seen it on paper?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I've had very good sources because of the politics behind what has happened to me.
Okay.
Basically, when I sit and I look at my computer, okay, there's alien intervention that's going on all over everything that I do. Okay, if I sit on my computer and I'm on the same internet connection as you are, and we both go to Wikipedia and I look up a word and you look up a word and you're in the next room over, mm-hmm. my definition of that word is going to be different than the one you receive.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
Why? When? What? Like, what would the difference be?
It depends. Communicate what I was saying to people, and I was sending them links, etc., to computers, and they would all, I don't understand. What is she saying? And then in 2008, oh, bing, the light went on because I watched it. Okay. There's something in the internet addresses called a SIGBIN, SIGBIN. SIGBIN.
Okay.
And what that is that, and you'll find this in the Acts and Laws of Congress, too, under the Library of Congress and the Government Printing Office, etc. If you are at one zip code and I'm at a different zip code, or we are not, one of us is a targeted individual and the other one is not, and that is a term that they use.
Right.
Okay, TIs. I will get a different answer on what that internet site says than the next person over. And this creates a terrible case of Babylonian miscommunication in the dialect.
Yeah.
Okay? So I thought that I was some sort of a genius doing all these wonderful things. It changed. I'm only an emissary. They're handing it to me on a silver platter. I'm spoon-fed.
Right.
Okay? And other people are also spoon-fed. I just don't know who exactly they are. Apparently you have some spoon-feeding or you wouldn't be keeping up with me right now. But then you talk to somebody else and, you know, their DNA is screwed up and they're being fed a different plate of food. Okay? They're getting a completely different perspective on mine.
Mm-hmm.
So they look at me like I have three heads.
Right.
You know? And then when you show them, they go, oh my God. You know, when it actually hits. So I was given the Act of Congress that made it the New World Order codified here in the United States, and that's H.R. 3474.
Okay.
And what that is called the Regal Community Development and Regulatory Improvement Act of 1994, due piece to it, and it's a SIGBIN address. And they lay out what they're doing. You're a targeted individual. The minute you say you're an individual, you go into a court, you file a piece of paper. It says, are you a corporation or are you an individual? Well, if you check individual, oh, I'm not going to fall for the straw man thing. Oh, right. Smarter than that. You check individual. What they don't say is they never define the word individual. And the individual is used as the individual part of God that gets the dispensation if you're reading other material. So it's obviously very deceptive.
Okay.
But the individual in that act under the New World Order is the liable, culpable, responsible, and accountable party.
Right.
So they won't talk to you in a court until you claim to be the individual. And so, then it doesn't matter what happens, you already lost because you're paying for the whole thing. The more the argument, the bigger your bill is.
So what would you claim as in between those two, between a corporation or an individual? Or what do you choose that's not on that list?
I wouldn't go to mankind for authority. Period.
Right, roger that. Okay. But how do you classify yourself if you had to, if you were forced to? A human being?
How would I classify myself?
Mm-hmm.
An emissary of God, I am that I am.
I like that. Period. I think that's great. I like that. Okay.
Yes. I am that I am. And my name, my vessel, or the estate, the straw man, Cynthia Marie Brewer. Okay? And that is my given name from my parents, my nominee or my appellation. Call it what you want. There's a whole study on this stuff. This is everything that I'm saying here. I'm blowing the doors off of people that don't have any of this experience or wisdom under their belt. But those that have been around for a while are what I'm saying, and they're perceiving what I'm saying entirely different than a newbie.
Right. Well, I think it's important because a lot of people, you know, in our listening audience especially, they know about Straw Man Redemption. We understand, we've had Roger Sales on, we've had Alfred Adask on, you know, we've talked about what has happened to humanity and the way that we have been essentially, hijacked and hoodwinked into giving our labor, as the backing for the criminal cabal that runs the show. But what you've kind of outlined for us is that, they have circumvented our ability to separate, you know, our physical bodies from the DNA. And if they are supposedly under their legal system in ownership of our DNA, it is like Straw Man Redemption 2.0 or the, you know, the funding of the fiat currency 2.0. They've taken it to a technological level that's just almost unfathomable. And so I really appreciate
it. Go ahead. Let me come back to that because my history is through the redemption information.
Right.
Okay, so I'm really familiar with what you're talking about. Let me explain to you where the biggest problem that I see is. It's in your standing. If indeed you are not the emissary of God, if you are not the child of God that God, the trust of God dispenses to or bestows upon you, you already lost.
Right.
The disciples for a higher consciousness demand to know how it is you are in the world and not of the world. Answer that question and you won't get messed with anymore.
Wow. Super deep. Man, Cynthia, thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast today. This has been absolutely riveting. Do you have a book that you're working on? Is that true?
The S word, because they apparently don't like the resonant frequency of the word sovereign.
Right.
And any facility, it's geared up for prisoners because every prisoner that's in there has done this of their own free will and volition, but they don't know it because they've been conditioned and trained into it.
Right.
And every single person, there's three words that's on a record, not a report. A report is where the goes to another place to unload the goods, the misappropriation. Mm. A record or a record is what they issue the securities off of. And they ask you three questions real quick. What is your name? Okay. What is, do you understand English? The first thing you need to say is only if you define the terms, words, and context in which they are used.
Yes.
And then the third thing is do you agree that I gave you time and money? No, you didn't give me anything. You're trying to take it from me. We all know the word give does not have the same definition as take. There is no morphing there.
Right, right.
So what it is they agree to the exchange, they say their name under the estate that they can do. They say that they understand English, then they say that they understand that they were given equal valuable consideration.
Wow. Cynthia, I'm afraid I've got to cut you off. We are just about out of time for the day. Thank you very much for joining us on the program. I'd love to have you back sometime in the future.
Good evening. Thank you.
Absolutely. And tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, Rick Rozoff, one of my favorite people from Chicago, on the show to talk about NATO and the wacky world that is Turkey right now as they are surrounded by NATO and ISIS. So do stay tuned for that. My name's JD. We'll be back to...
You make a great team. It's been that way since the day you met. But your erectile dysfunction? It could be a question of blood flow. Sometimes when a politician has been in D.C. too long, it goes to his head and he just can't seem to get the job done. Used on a daily basis, WinnerEgg in Congress will help you every time the moment is right to have your voice heard at the federal level. When using WinnerEgg, it's important to note that the borders will be secured, Second Amendment rights protected, Obamacare and Planned Parenthood will be defunded, and common sense will be used in solving the nation's problems. Other signs of erectile dysfunction may include extreme skin discoloration, the inability to punch oneself out of a wet paper bag,
or maintain a spine in the face of liberal opposition, amore de gramina verde, smoking,
and golf. If you have a boner lasting longer than 23 years, seek immediate medical attention. WinnerEgg. Because Boehner shouldn't count his chickens before they hatch.
It's Boehner.
I'm J.D. WinnerEgg, and I approve this message.